It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Dr. Vika Brewster. Dr. Brewster works with me at the White Spruce Medical right here in Fairbanks, and today we're talking about anxiety and depression. In fact, this is a continuing conversation of anxiety and depression. Last week, we talked about anxiety and depression as well. So, Dr. Vika, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
So one of the things that I want to do is I want to kind of set the conversation and talk about like how prevalent anxiety and depression is. And then I'm very curious as to what kinds of things you do to treat it. I want our listeners to get some kind of sense of what treatments are available.
Yeah, definitely. So it's very prevalent. I said in the last time that I talked, it was more than 2 out of 5 people in this past year have experiencing anxiety or depression symptoms. And not only that, but 1 in 4 actually need help and admit that they need help but haven't actually sought to get treatment for it, which makes a lot of sense. And so on this talk, I want to narrow down on depression a little bit by talking about a case that I had. So I had this 53-year-old woman come to me for depression. And I mean, even the fact that she got into the door with how severe her depression was like pretty impeccable. And she was already on quite a few things and they just weren't helping her and she wasn't
like,
getting...
we're talking medications?
Yes. And she wasn't getting Multiple medications.
Okay.
Unfortunately, if I could remember what they were, but this was a few years ago. And so she just wanted some help outside of that. And so I was just talking with her about herself and different things. And so, you know, I started with where I like to start first. I like to start with the least amount of intervention as possible. So I started with her lifestyle. I asked her about her family and her support network and how she felt about that. And unfortunately, she had a really hard time connecting with people. She felt that whenever she had to go out with her friends and socialize, it was like she had to put on a different mask. And because of this, she felt so drained by the end of this that she didn't want to continue it.
That's kind of classic for people with depression.
Yeah.
And it's classic for people with there's natural introverts that they it takes energy to go out and be with people. It doesn't give you energy. It's exhausting.
Which is really unfortunate because social connection is so important for the mood and so important to just feel like you belong. Like belonging is key to living a happy life. But if you're not connecting with your friends, then you're not going to feel like you belong. So I delved into that a little bit. She did have one friend who she shared things with, so I just kind of encouraged continuing that. Yes, and like further down the road, too, we talked about ACEs. Do you know what that is?
No.
I feel like it's not as commonly talked about in Fairbanks, so I'm excited to bring it here. So ACEs stand for Adverse Childhood Events. And there's this little quiz that you can go online and you can take. And basically, it just is this huge correlation between the amount of childhood trauma you have to the amount of things that you have to deal with when you're older, like depression, like anxiety, like substance abuse, etc. And she had the shocking score of 8, which I want to say it's out of 10. So this is like pretty high. So she had a lot of childhood abuse. Not to say that depression, anxiety always comes from childhood abuse, but there is a significant correlation. So we also talked about if she wasn't finding relief from connecting with people, to also find a counselor so that she could talk that out while being on the medication, while we were going over other plans. And then I talked about her diet. And something that's very common when people have depression is they eat lots of carbs and sugar And why? And this is because it goes straight into your bloodstream and spikes your cortisol. So you get like a little bit of energy, you get like some dopamine, you get this like happy little rush for about 90 seconds. And then all of those carbs and sugary, delicious things that you have eaten causes a lot of inflammation. And one of the origins that is hypothesized of where depression comes from and is that it's actually an inflammatory disease. But besides if that's the case or not, you don't want to have inflammation. You don't want your blood sugar to spike. This is not going to help you. So that's something that we really had to work on. And easier said than done, you know. It's really easy for me to say, stop eating carbs, because I remember when I had to stop eating carbs. It takes 28 days to break a habit. It took 28 days of constant self-control to finally get over that, ooh, yeah, I'd love to just, like, you know, grab this pastry right here. Get that, you know, happy feeling. So that's something that we are
looking for. So she quit, you coached her to not eat carbs and she quit eating carbs?
She would still have carbs every now and then. She had less carbs, and then when she had carbs, she would have things with it to, you know, we talk about the glycemic index, which may be going down a different rabbit hole, so I don't want to go too far. But basically, you want things to help your blood sugar be stabilized. So things would be like fiber and protein. So you don't want to, like, if you are going to have carbs, have things that will help your body be able to take in the carbs. And if you want to have carbs, have healthy carbs, like vegetables. But obviously,
vegetables have carbs in them. Carrots, yes. Do, and sweet potatoes, and they're relatively, root vegetables are relatively high in carbs, and yet they're good for you, and they balance your blood sugars.
So good for you.
They balance your blood sugars. They don't spike them. They balance them.
Exactly. And once you get over the processed sugar that causes your body to acclimate to this over sugarized substances that it sells you, your body actually acclimates, and then you start eating a carrot again, and you're like, wow, this tastes so different. This tastes so sweet and delicious. What happened? But it just takes a little bit to get there.
Yeah, compared to Skittles, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. When was the last time I ate Skittles?
So how'd it work?
So she definitely started having some improvement then, and she had some improvement, like going out and seeing her friends, which was really comforting. She just, like, you know, like when she first came into the office, she was, you know, like, I'm not even making this up. She was wearing a gray hoodie. She was like slumped over. She wasn't making eye contact. She just like looked like she had no energy. She was depleted. She was like, you could tell that she just did not have anything to give. Like, that's why I was so impressed that she got into the office, because, you know, like, I can empathize what a feat that was for her, which is also why it's really hard to treat depression, because to get the energy to actually go and treat it, it, you know, you have to get over this huge hump. But, you know, she had improvement, but because her medications still weren't quite balanced, she had seen her psychotherapist during the time between the two sessions that I saw her, and she spoke with him a little bit more bluntly, and they changed the formula again a little bit later, and I think that was helpful, and also the fact that I also used higher interventions. So I wanted to give her St. John's wort, because that's really effective with depression. However, because it does such a good job at elevating serotonin, you can't actually use it with SSRIs, because it's like, oh, what if it actually increases the serotonin so much that it causes serotonin syndrome, which is not good. You don't want that.
So let me comment on that a little bit. Serotonin is famous for helping people with their moods.
Yes.
But what people often don't know is that serotonin has got a fairly narrow therapeutic window. Too little makes you depressed. Too much makes you suicidally depressed.
Yeah.
You're depressed on steroids. You're depressed to the max. So it's worse to have too much than it is to have too little. So if you can boost it just the right amount, people feel better. It picks up their mood. It's not the cure for depression completely. There's a bunch of other stuff that needs to be done. You're talking about that social situation. You need to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do stuff. You need to exercise, there's a bunch of things that need to happen for your serotonin to get dialed in. Mm-hmm. But there, you can. It's a lot easier to get it dialed in if it's better to begin with, right? It is. It really helps. Yeah, but you got to be careful about not doing it too much. So the herbs sometimes are so strong that they'll interact with the medications in a way that actually brings your serotonin levels up too much. Again, you got to be careful. It's one of the nice things that we're trained to be able to know how to do that. I appreciate that.
Definitely. Yeah. Everything's about balance and making sure to stimulate without overstimulating, for sure. So for her, I actually ended up using holy basil. And holy basil isn't one that I use often, but I use it for her because it's like more of a calming adaptogen. It also helps balance the blood sugars a lot. And it helps with inflammation and managing glucose and cortisol.
So there you go. You're fixing three other things that most doctors just ignore in terms of helping with the depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
Bingo. That's it. Right there.
Which is why I love our profession, because I think that we can be such a help to conventional medicine because, you know, they've got these big guns and we have these
guns?
Silencers to put on it. Maybe I need to like stop with this metaphor. I don't know where I'm going with this. We kind of help finagle the guns. Yes.
Yeah, hopefully this is, you know what, KFAR, I mean. By the way. We love our guns here.
I think that's why I automatically use the gun metaphor. That must be why.
Get some cred with the audience. Very good.
But yeah, so, you know, it's definitely something where, you know, I love working with conventional doctors on this and on other things because we can definitely help in areas that take a little bit more time and a little bit more questions and whatnot. And, you know, that's where we shine.
Okay, so one thing you haven't talked about at all, and I was just waiting the whole time for this.
Oh, my God, I totally know what you're about to say.
What?
Exercise.
That's right. How can you treat someone for depression and never talk about exercise?
So true, but okay, so literally the most effective thing, the best thing that is long-term, that increases all the things that are good for you, puts you in a great mood, helps stabilize your blood pressure, does everything that we've discussed in one thing, is exercise. However, when you're depressed, like, try telling someone who's depressed to go out for a run. Like, that's not going to happen. The fact that they even made it into your office, like, that is impressive.
Yeah.
So I like
that's
to...
That's the rub right there.
Yeah.
You're already depressed. Who wants to exercise when you're
exactly.
depressed? I just want to go home and kill myself, right?
Except
I'm too tired.
And I had a teacher who was really great. When someone had like really major depressive disorder, they said, hey, breathing is exercise. And, you know, he just was like really adamant about people getting a regime down of breathing. And I think what he was trying to do was just like, hey, this is something simple that doesn't take a lot of effort. It does take a lot of effort.
It does.
to not do anything and to just breathe, that's a lot of effort. But in comparison to exercise, it's much more doable for someone who's suffering
bite-sized
with
piece.
Depression.
Yeah.
And so once you kind of get that routine and that stability down, then you can kind of increase it and be like, okay, you know, why don't you try to move your body today? Like, why don't you go for a walk? And then slowly you can increase it till they're actually doing it on a regular basis, and that is so beneficial for everything. So yeah, I think I talked about it the first week. I don't think I said much the first week just because we had talked about it and she was like, no, like, I'm not getting out of bed. I don't even think she was like working at that point because that's how bad her symptoms were. So it was pretty bad and she was not happy that I started talking about it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to drop it there and I'm going to pick it up next week. Whenever she saw me next, which may have been 2 weeks. No, it would have been one week.
It's okay.
It was pretty scary. Anyways.
Not important to the story. She came back at some
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And then I was able to implement the exercise. And that's really what made her fly through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
It was
You're amazing. Right. The story you tell really illustrates the point very well, which is you got to get an entry point. It's hard to get started. And most of the time what people have done already is they've been on the medications, and they helped, and then they quit helping. And now what are you going to do? Well, let's change the medications up, except for it doesn't work. And sometimes it works, but then it quits working. It's like that. Now what do you do? Now you're screwed. You've already done everything that medical science knows how to offer, except for no. That's actually not true. You have not done everything medical science has to offer. But it turns out medical science has a bunch more stuff to offer. And again, it comes right out of the literature. All kinds of stuff that you can do to affect people's mood. And this last week, we did this whole thing about gut bacteria. I just want to remind all your listeners, you get someone's gut bacteria taken care of, this whole thing's a lot easier. The gut bacteria affect your mood. Did you know the gut bacteria? You know this. I'm telling you something you already know. Gut bacteria makes serotonin. Isn't that interesting? Gut bacteria make dopamine, which helps with your mood. Isn't that interesting? Gut bacteria, they contribute to all these neurotransmitters. Isn't that interesting? Why do they do that? Because they want to affect your mood. They want you to do things that help make their life better. That's what they want to do. And like things like eating ice cream. They want you to eat more ice cream. So you start thinking, you know what would be good? You know what would be good? If we could go get a pint of Ben and Jerry's, that would be great. Look, that's not you talking. Mm. That's your gut bacteria. At least they're contributing to the conversation. Our opinion is yes. I'm not kidding. This is just true. This is
definitely
literally true. Actually and literally true. Your gut bacteria are affecting your mood.
Yeah.
And you get them straightened out, put them in line, make them do what you want, and suddenly things are a lot easier. That thing that you do for ice cream, it goes away and you think, hey, I was fine. I used to eat ice cream all the time back when I was fat. Now I'm slender and happy.
Yeah, you go from fighting to thriving, and that is a very nice adjustment to make.
Yeah, so get the starting point. That's the key thing to do. So we got to take a break right now. We're going to talk more about how to fix this anxiety and depression problem. But we're going to do break right now.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion, or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh, yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science, and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real, and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm here with Dr. Vika Brewster. We're talking about...
Howdy.
We're talking about anxiety and depression. So, Dr. Brewster, one of the things that I know is particularly effective for treating anxiety and depression is serotonin, getting serotonin levels up. Yeah. We talked about that all the way through the show, both last week and this week, and the medications that are useful. Last week, you mentioned a substance that I know is particularly helpful at getting serotonin levels up, and it's 5-hydroxytryptophan. I want you to tell us more about that. What is it?
So 5-hydroxytryptophan is a precursor to serotonin. So it's really great at getting serotonin levels up because it's the precursor.
So it's a step away from serotonin. Why don't we just give people serotonin straight? It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
It's regulated because serotonin is really important for the normal functioning of cells. If there's too little, they don't work right. If there's too much, they don't work right. So you know what your body does? Is it keeps it from coming in willy-nilly, so it's hard to get it the levels up because your 90% of your serotonin is being made from your guts.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5-hydroxytryptophan does what? Gets by the blood-brain barrier.
Right. Yes.
Right? Yeah, you know all this.
Yeah.
For sure you do. I'm telling you what you already know.
Yeah. It increases serotonin. And another thing is, once it becomes serotonin, then it increases melatonin. That's the biological pathway. And melatonin is super effective for all things because it's the thing that is regulated by light. So light goes in, it affects your pineal gland, and it tells you, oh, should I be sleepy or not? So it's not going to, if you take melatonin, it's not going to make you fall asleep. But if you have the environment to fall asleep, it will help guide you and it helps you stay asleep. So one of the ideas too is that inflammation is increased in anxiety and depression because you're not getting good sleep quality. So increasing serotonin will also help increase melatonin down the line.
So the thing, one way I say it is having more serotonin is helpful. Now, we can trap the little teeny bit of serotonin you have in the place where it's going to do the most good, which is between the cells. That's what those serotonin reuptake inhibitors do. They're inhibiting the reuptake. They're they're blocking you, sucking it back up, and leaving it out in between where the action is, so you feel better. Now, you feel almost like you had more serotonin. Mm-hmm. You don't, but you feel like you do. Can we actually increase serotonin? Is there a way we can do that? The answer is, yeah. You know what we can do? We can have you take 5-hydroxytryptophan, throw in a few cofactors that help with the conversion, and then give it a jiggle, right? Like a cocktail. Give it a shake, right? That shaking is otherwise known as exercise. Seriously, you combine exercise and the stuff I mentioned, the 5-HTP and some B vitamins and things like that, and boom, your serotonin levels went up, and you're feeling a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you feel a lot better. And not only that, you sleep better because you got more serotonin. Now you got more melatonin as a bonus. Now, how come everybody's not doing this? Dr. Brewster, why is the rest of the world not doing this?
Gosh, I mean, I don't know what you're getting at, but I can say I didn't find out about 5-HTP till I went to naturopathic school. I don't feel that it's like very much talked about.
It isn't.
Which I have no idea why.
It is. I do. I know why.
Because it's cheap and the pharmaceutical companies can't benefit from it.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. Because you can't patent it. Because it's already natural.
Yeah.
And so you can't make a blockbuster drug with it. Who's going to put the time into it? So so it's not a prescription item either. So in order to get the system to work correctly, where all the money is, it's got to be a prescription item and you got to be able to patent it. And then when it goes off patent, who cares? Let's come up with a better one that's got a wee wig on it, right? Come on. Everybody knows this is how the system works. This is where the money is. So you don't want to, I'm not saying they're not helpful. They are helpful in a way, but it's better and more clever to actually get your serotonin levels to come up.
Okay. Amen. Also, little fun fact, the precursor to 5-HTP is tryptophan, which is in turkey.
And other things.
So if you're
an amino acid.
If you're eating turkey around your family and you're just, you know, you feel your mood is elevated and you feel so happy to be around them, and then later, you know, you're kind of tired and you think you want to take a nap.
There
now
it is.
Now you know why.
Turkey torpor, right? I'm thinking all that gravy and mashed potatoes and stuffing might have something to do with it as well.
Fine. It's true. It probably has more of an effect. Because as we said, melatonin doesn't make you go to sleep. It just allows for you to drift to sleep when you are ready to sleep. So you're ready to sleep when you are in the food coma.
All right. So now let's get personal. I'm going to ask you. You're a human being. You're living on the planet Earth. You have to struggle with mood problems like the rest of us do, right? What do? How do you keep your mood up?
I mean, I feel like being a naturopath, it's hard for me to answer because I feel like I do all the things because this is what I study, and I don't want to just preach and not do the things that I study. So I make sure to get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. I didn't even go over the basics. Okay, so also the things that I think that every single person should be on, which is also really helpful in preventing anxiety and depression, are fish oil and vitamin D. So
that's why I asked this question, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It worked. Isn't this lovely? Good. Boom. Your brain turns on, starts banging out the rest of it. Go on.
Yeah, so fish oil, I probably don't need to go into doses, but fish oil is really great. It's really helpful, especially for your mucous membranes and everything. It's anti-inflammatory. It has an effect on serotonin, dopamine, production, and also has a role in cortical regulation.
Yeah, your brain's mostly made of fat, by the way. We all have fat heads, and fish oil helps with the fat.
Yes.
It does. It calms it down, makes the membranes work better. There's a bunch of beneficial stuff it does, aside from the fact helping with depression. Isn't that interesting? Fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
It, again, this is out of the research. I mean, it's out of my practical experience too, because I've seen it work so many times. But research backs it up.
Yeah, super super helpful for depression. Not as much with mania.
No, that's a whole other subject. We could talk about that later. I know a lot about this.
Great.
This is something I've had a lot of experience treating: is people going into manic depression.
Yeah.
How you shut down the mania. Though, au contraire, fish oil is helpful.
Yeah.
It's not a cure, won't stop people from going into mania, but it makes it less likely, by the way. Okay, what else? What do you do? I'm curious. What do you do?
Okay, and then vitamin D. Vitamin D is super important. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of SAD, but let me tell you, going from...
SAD?
Yes.
This is what we do in Fairbanks.
Oh.
This is the SAD capital of the world.
I don't know. I feel like since I've been here, I've had a lot more sun than you know, when I lived in Seattle. Let me tell you, going from Boston to Seattle was night and day. It was a struggle for me. It was so challenging.
Because of the clouds.
Yeah.
It's cloudy all the time.
Exactly. Someone said
SAD.
Yes.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yes.
This is a depression that comes from low dopamine.
Yes.
Literally, that's what it is.
Yep.
We didn't know that for a long time. People didn't understand where SAD was coming from. It's a dopamine problem is what it is. So if you can get dopamine levels up, the SAD goes away.
Awesome. Amazing.
That's where the light thing comes in. You get the light, the happy light shines in your eyes. It triggers dopamine production. It goes up.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways to get dopamine to go up as well. Do you know of any ways to get dopamine go up?
I want to say green tea.
That can help. Bungee jumping. Your dopamine will go skyrocket bungee jumping.
That's very true.
It's true. It will, honestly.
I feel like my dopamine's already going up thinking of bungee jumping, so.
Short of that, exercise.
Yeah.
We'll do it. That's another thing that'll get
it
to go up.
Exercise, yes.
Tyrosine is another thing it'll do. It's a precursor, just like the 5-HTP is a precursor for serotonin. Tyrosine is a precursor for dopamine.
Yes.
It's interesting, the chemistry of how they all dovetail. One affects the other. Dopamine affects serotonin production. Serotonin affects dopamine production. So if you can push one up, the other one tends to come up too. If you push the other one up, you select vice versa. You can get them both to come up. And again, you can take a little of this and a little of that. Herbs, we've just barely scratched the surface of all the herbs you can do.
Oh, yeah.
But you do a combination of stuff based on someone's particular case. You can ask questions to figure out, like you did with your patient you were telling us earlier. And then you put it all together and give it a jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
Have them do a little exercise, and they'll come back and they'll say, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love when people come back and they just say, you know, I'm really feeling better. My energy's better. My sleep is better. Everything's starting to click in, and it's like, sweet, you know. And now it's like, okay, let's figure out how to structure your life so that you maintain this, that you don't, hey, I feel better, boo, I'm going to Vegas, baby.
I don't know, that sounds like a great life too.
For a while, it gets old after a while. It does.
Having not been to Vegas, I cannot confirm nor deny this.
Oh yeah, I did. I was sick as a dog. Oh, I hate Vegas now. It was tainted. I spent Vegas sick in bed.
Oh, gosh.
Enough of that. I don't want to tell my own story.
Got you. It's the cortisol.
Yeah.
Or something else.
Dr. Brewster, I'm sorry to say, once again, we're at the end of the show.
Wow.
And we have so much more to talk about, but so it goes. It's always the way it is with our show. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate the conversation. Thank you for being here in Fairbanks. I'm super excited about working with you, super excited about seeing patients. And the contribution that you're going to make to the quality of life here. It's fabulous when we get energetic, intelligent, you know, engaging people here in Fairbanks. This is good. So y'all listening, come go see her.
If you don't believe him, yes, prove it to yourself by coming to see me. And then you can, you know, tell him, hey, you're totally wrong, or
no,
agree with
no,
him.
No,
you know,
it's
either way, either one.
It just comes across the radio. That's the thing. I want to let everybody know to stay tuned for Mike Hadukovich's Tracks Outdoor Show following this one, immediately following this one. This has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks, where we treat gastrointestinal diseases such as irritable bowel, gastritis, Crohn's disease, and a bunch of other stuff too. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.